Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us this evening and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we can get you on the program here with us this evening, and our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. You can give us a call if you got, like I said, a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Love to hear from you tonight. Let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Thank you for making it possible for us to be able to do this. We do pray that we would be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us to encourage people in their walk with you, and bless the program tonight for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Good to be with you here tonight. And, winter decided to come back here to northeastern Ohio this past week with a vengeance, I guess, and not just northeast Ohio. It's been all across the state of Ohio and down into Kentucky and all the way stretching back to St. Louis, Missouri. They got hammered and with the snow this past week. But sun came out for a bit today, and temperatures warmed up a bit, and they finally got the roads cleared out. I don't know about where you're at, but I don't think they even touched our roads until this morning sometime. But mostly roads have been pretty clear where I've been today, so that's kind of nice. Well, it is January after all. This is northeastern Ohio. We expect it. I guess we're supposed to get another round of snow coming through a week from now, and speaking of a week from now, I just wanted to remember to mention, before I forget about it, next week, about the time we go on the radio, there's supposed to be a total lunar eclipse, and it is supposed to be visible throughout the United States, and particularly the eastern half of the United States. I think pretty much all the United States, because of the time that it's going to hit, and I think the totality of the lunar eclipse is supposed to happen during the program next week. So, and it's also, if I remember, going to be a supermoon. I guess this is the last time we had a really good lunar eclipse that most of North Americans could see was about 3 years ago. And they said that the totality, that's the time when the Earth is between the sun and the moon, and the entire moon is obscured. That's what we give the term a blood moon. Remember a few years ago, they were talking about blood moons, and the moon becomes kind of a coppery color or a blood red color sort of thing. It varies on a lunar eclipse, but this one's going to be longer than normal. According to space.com, the totality, that's the time when the moon will be completely in the Earth's shadow, is going to be about 1 hour and 2 minutes, and that's going to be during our program, I think, that it hits that. And let me just give you some information on this a little bit here, just so you can plan to go out if you get a chance to look at this. It's going to be visible throughout the Western Hemisphere. Parts of Europe and the western part of Africa should be able to see a little bit, as well as the northernmost portions of Russia. But for those of us here in North America, we're supposed to have some of the best seats in terms of being able to see it. So hopefully it'll be reasonably clear, though we're supposed to have snow, like I said, next weekend. So hopefully it won't obscure. And since the lunar eclipse is going to be so long, we should be able to get a good view. If you're in the eastern part of the United States in particular, you should be able to see the moon entering in the, what they call the penumbra. That's the sort of the lighter shadow that it goes into first, and that's the beginning of the eclipse, about 9:36 p.m. next week. And then it enters the darker part of the shadow at 10:34 p.m. And then the total eclipse is supposed to begin at 11:41 p.m., right during our program. So it'll give you a chance to go out and take a look at it if you're staying up to watch Late Night Live with Pastor Al next week. You get a chance, you can go out. I'm looking forward to going out afterwards and hopefully get a good view at the program ends. The total lunar eclipse portion, the midpoint will be about 12:13 a.m., a little bit after we're off the air. The total portion of it will end about 12:43 a.m., and then the moon leaves the umbra at 1:51 and the penumbra, which ends the eclipse completely, at 2:48 a.m. So going from 9:36 p.m. to 2:48 a.m. is the entirety of it. And by being here in North America, if the clouds hold off, if you're in a place where it's going to be clear from, you know, Canada to Florida, actually, even in South America, people will be able to see a really good view. And this is going to be before midnight from coast to coast. So the entire United States should get a good view of this. And the last time we had a really good lunar eclipse, it was the western portion of the United States that got the best view of it. And the one that was it to that time of night. And then, of course, there was one where the lunar eclipse came right about sunrise, and it made it really hard to see much of it as well. So this would be good. It's also right there on the eve of Martin Luther King Day, and so that in the United States is a legal holiday, so a lot of kids will be off school on Monday, and some other people will be off work on Monday, so a week from tomorrow. So a lot of people that normally aren't able to stay up will be able to stay up and watch this. And if it's not too cold and you get a chance to get out and take a look at it, let me encourage you to do so. I mean, I know we're not an astronomy program, but still, it's kind of interesting to look at. And I was looking at this one time, the Earth and the Moon, the way our system is set up and the distance that we are from the Sun, we're the only place in the solar system that we can really get some of these good eclipses, both lunar eclipses and solar eclipses. And it's just the solar eclipses in particular, because the diameter of the moon in relation to the sun at the distance that we're at and all that. And then, of course, same thing with the Earth, the diameter of the Earth and the distance from the sun in regards to the moon. So it really makes it very interesting. So hope you get a chance next week to go out and take a look at the total lunar eclipse. Well, like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just to let you know, you can find out more about us online. Our website is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find a link to our Facebook page. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can also watch us online. The program right now tonight is being broadcast on Facebook Live. So we try to do that when we can. Not always able to do that, but tonight seems to be cooperating quite nicely. So you can watch on there as well as listen to the program. And of course, and we want to encourage you to check out our website there at livewithpastoral.com. Well, want to point out a couple of things here about our church, too, before I get too much further into the program. There'll be more information about the church at the break at the bottom of the hour and all. But we want to let you know our schedule, what we're doing right now. We are currently looking at four things that Christians need to know during our morning Bible study at 10 o'clock. Our church, the Bible Baptist Church, meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. And we meet in the conference room or the meeting room at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And we have our 10 o'clock Bible study, like I said, going through four things God or that Christians should know, God wants Christians to know. And then on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, our morning service, I am currently preaching through the book of Philippians. We're in Philippians chapter 1 still, been there for a couple of weeks now. And then on Sunday night, at 6 o'clock, we meet the same location, and I'm currently going through the book of Zechariah. We just started Zechariah chapter 14 tonight, and Zechariah chapter 14 is a very fascinating chapter when you look at the scripture, and there's a lot packed into it, and so we just started it tonight, and I'm going to probably talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on in Zechariah chapter 14 right here on the program this evening as well. Probably one of my favorite chapters. People ask me every once in a while, what's your favorite passage in the Bible? What's your favorite book? What's your favorite chapter? What's your favorite verse? And a lot of people, they say, well, this is my favorite verse. This is my life verse and all that. And I don't really say that because, you know, right now I'm looking at Zechariah 14 and some of this is my favorite passages in the Bible right now. And later on, I might be looking at another passage and say, well, that's my favorite passage in the Bible. So I can't really narrow it down to this is my absolute favorite. I mean, there's some portions that I like more than others. I like Daniel chapter 9. I like Revelation chapter 19. I like Zechariah chapter 14. I like Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. There's just a lot in the Bible that I really like. And I would hope that you do too, rather than just limit it to one or two verses or passages, develop a love for the Bible. We've been talking off and on about the importance of reading the Bible. A lot of people think about that at the beginning of the year, reading through the Bible in the course of the year, or at least attempting to get a Bible study program established in the beginning of the year. People taking New Year's resolutions and things like that and trying to do something like that. But, you know, if you enjoy reading something, it's a lot easier to read something that you enjoy. I can remember when I was in school, I went to the Revere school systems here locally, and growing up in Richfield, we had a small library in Richfield, and fortunately it was a branch of the Akron Summit County Library System, and so we could request books from the main library and from the other branches, and of course at the time it was kind of challenging when you had the old days of the old card catalog. Things weren't online at that time. It was kind of challenging sometimes to find books that were at the main library, but it was always nice to be able to request them. And there were certain books and certain topics that when I could find books, I devoured them. You know, I'd go to school and they'd give me reading assignments, and some of them I couldn't hardly find time to read because I wasn't that interested in them. But I would go to the library and I would pick up books, nonfiction books in various subjects that I really enjoyed reading. It was kind of humorous. I remember when I went into the Air Force, because of where I worked in the Air Force, I had to have a security clearance. And so they went out and they investigate you before they give you a clearance, and they investigated and they talked to all the people around, you know, or the houses and a whole lot of them, but houses around where I grew up, and they were talking to the lady across the street, and they found out that she was the head librarian at the library there in Richfield. And so they asked her what kind of books I read. And I thought, well, they had to have fun with that, because I think at the time I had read every science fiction book that they had, some of them several times, every book on gardening, every book on ecology, every book on natural history, and every book on parapsychology. How's that for a thing? I thought they had to really find that interesting, looking at that combination. Plus, every book by the collected works of James Thurber, I think, was a guy that I really liked reading at the time. I'm not recommending that everybody has to read what I read when I was a kid, but I just thought it was kind of interesting what they probably thought of that, made out of that when they were doing the background check on my clearance there. But at any rate, getting back to reading things, you know, when we enjoy reading something, we're willing to spend time reading it. I remember actually getting almost in trouble in history class. I remember in high school, the teacher came up to me and she was sure she caught me because I had a book in my history book that I was supposed to be reading. And she thought she was going to catch me with a comic book. And when she come around before I could close the book, she found I was reading a botany manual. Yeah, I was a weird kid, I guess. But at any rate, we've got a number of people calling in tonight. So enough about my junior high and high school reading habits. We've got, I believe, John and Euclid calling in first. And John, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, yes. Hello, Pastor Al.
Hello. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, yeah, I'm blessed. Thank you. Yeah. And I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I was just hoping we could look at Daniel chapter 7.
Sure. Yeah.
For a minute.
Let me take a moment to turn over here. Daniel chapter 7, you said?
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right. And let's see. Are we looking at the beasts that are here?
Yeah, specifically, if we could look at verse 25.
Right, and this is the fourth beast, this would be the one that corresponds to the reign of the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time."
Ah, yes. And here's the question, because
yes,
now I'm familiar with this passage of scripture, and certainly heard a lot of teaching about it over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Now I realize now it's a different program, but on the previous program, someone called up and he mentioned about, well, the Antichrist will make a treaty with Israel for 2.5 years and then break the
treaty. 3.5 years.
3.5.
Right.
See, then the people that are doing the program, like, questioned that. They said, well, where does the Bible say that? And the guy didn't really have a scriptural reference. And
mm-hmm.
He just said, well, I've just always heard this teaching. And they said, well, it's the teaching that some man's teaching them. The Bible doesn't. They kind of said the Bible doesn't say that. Where is it? They didn't actually say the Bible. They just wanted to know, where does it say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one place. I got another one too, but go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, when I heard that, I said, you know, I heard them saying that. Well, where does the Bible say that? Because I've heard, and I said, well, let me look. And I started looking around, and I found that in Daniel. But I was wondering about it myself, because then when I read it, well, in the second half of that verse, he says, you know, they'll be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. I thought I was going to find it say a time and times and half a time, but it's this dividing of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, is that dividing a time, a half a time?
Yeah, in fact, I can give you a verse that outlines that if you'd like.
Yes.
And this it kind of goes along with what you're reading here, and also in Daniel chapter 9. Before I go there, it talks about the midpoint of the tribulation, where the Antichrist commands, you know, the offerings that are being given in the third temple to be to cease. And it says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in this particular prophecy, this is a week of years. Instead of a week of days, it's a week of years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And that goes on until the end of that. So now, again here in Daniel 7, where you were reading in verse 25, it says, until a time and times and the dividing of time. So if we hold our fingers there and we go back to Revelation chapter 12, okay? In Revelation chapter 12, there's a spot where it's picturing something that takes place with the woman that represents Israel. And it says in Revelation chapter 12 in verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, okay? And that works out on the Jewish calendar, you know, 365 day years, but the Jewish calendar, which is what, like 360 days or something like that. It works out to 3.5 years. And then you go further down in chapter 12, and this is the midpoint of the tribulation when the devil is cast out, his access to heaven is cut off. Right now, he can access the throne room of heaven where he accuses us before God. That's why in 1 John chapter 2, the Lord is referred to as our advocate with the Father, because when the devil accuses us, and we see that in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, where he presents himself before God and he accuses Job. And he is referred to in Revelation 12, verse 9, excuse me, and the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And as we come down here, we come back again to the persecution of the woman, which is Israel, the Jewish people. And it says in verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished. Here's that phrase, for a time and times and half a time. That would be the equivalent of a dividing of time, from the face of the serpent. So a time would be 1 year. Times would be 2 years. You got to have at least two to be plural. And dividing of time, or half a time, well, half a year, if a time is 1 year. And see, that corresponds to what's going on in verse 6 here in Revelation 12, where she was goes to a place prepared for her, and she's taken care of for 3.5 years, 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. And so that is the same language that we find in Daniel chapter 7, talking about the same time frame during the tribulation, where they're given into his hand until a time, that's a year, and times, that's 2 years, so 1 plus 2, that's 3, and the dividing of time, that's the half year, that's 3.5 years, and the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, consume and destroy it unto the end. And Daniel chapter 9 says it's the midst of the week, the midst of the 7 years. So the midst of 7 years is 3.5 years in, leaving 3.5 years to go, and that's when everything is wrapped up and the Lord returns. So comparing Daniel chapter 7 with Daniel chapter 9 and Revelation chapter 12, we've got in those three places, just there alone, I think there's elsewhere, but in those three alone, it indicates that the time and times and half a time, or dividing of times, is 3.5 years, not man's opinion, but the word of God. Because in both cases, you know, in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9, that was given directly in the vision, the explanations by God and God's angels. And in Revelation chapter 12, this is John, apostle of God, viewing what God is showing him. So, yeah, this wouldn't be man's opinion or man's invention. This would be the word of God. So...
Well, so, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of that verse, the time, times, and half a time. I was thinking, oh, it's in Daniel, and it really is, but it's just phrased a little different.
And like I said, it's the same as there in Revelation, and Daniel chapter 9 the vision there shows us in the midpoint of the tribulation period, the midpoint of the 7 years. So midpoint of 7 years at you know, the 3.5 years. Time and times and half a time or dividing of time. So you know, the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, something should be established. Well, there's two or three witnesses, I guess. So,
well, amen.
Yeah. No, that's a good question. I mean, people ask about that, and sometimes, you know, we see things in this, or we think we see things in the scriptures that really aren't there. Like, well, everybody knows cleanliness is next to godliness is in the Bible, right? It's over in First Hesitations or something like that, I think. You know, it's
there's a lot of little things like that, right?
Yeah,
that people are sure in the Bible and they're not.
Yeah,
know.
But this one's clearly there. So perhaps they just didn't recall reading it.
And, yeah, perhaps.
You know, there's a lot there. There's you're always learning. Always learning. You're never going to be. The moment somebody says they know everything in the Bible and they've got it that all down, you know that they're probably fooling themselves. So.
Right. If I could ask just one really quick follow-up question.
Yeah. We've got about a minute. So.
Yeah. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the Bible speaks, us, tells us about the one who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God. Call God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Yes.
And that would be the Antichrist.
Yeah, and I believe that's going to be the midpoint of the tribulation. And that also, I believe, will be the point at which the mark of the beast is instituted. So,
yeah,
and that's when
very good.
Daniel chapter 9, again, where he causes the oblation and the sacrifice to cease. Because he goes, and that's the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet that Jesus refers to. And again, reinforces the 3.5 years as the second half of the tribulation. Well, John, thank you for the call. And we've got a break coming up. Stay tuned.
Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6000. 6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the program here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Of course, brought to you tonight by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and certainly invite you to come out and visit us. If you don't have a church home, or you're looking for a place that maybe you're going someplace, they don't believe the Bible, they don't teach the Bible, they don't preach the Bible, and you're looking for a place that does that, well, I'd like to recommend our place. I'm the pastor, so I guess I can recommend it. It sounds reasonable, I suppose. And so you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. In fact, I was just telling the guys when I came in here tonight, I had some East Coast Pizza tonight. I warmed it up in the microwave. It was good. It was good. So I wholeheartedly recommend that you check out East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Somebody was saying they couldn't find it. Well, it's not a big place. It's kind of a hole in the wall, but it's kind of obscured. There's a barber shop in the front, but if you find the Garfield Heights High School there on Turney Road, it's right there, 4889, across the street from the high school, and you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you're a first-time visit to East Coast Pizza, mentioned Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. Well, getting back to our program here this evening, again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got John, who's been patiently waiting since the last half hour. John, welcome to the program tonight. Hello, John.
How are you tonight?
There we are, John. We didn't hear you at first. Go ahead.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Oh. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Good. It's interesting that you're talking about school and the library.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking with my neighbor, and we were discussing about people that go to heaven.
Uh-huh.
And we were going through all the list of famous people, and he seemed to think that all these famous people would go to heaven. And so I was asking him, I says, don't you think that there's requirements to get into heaven? I said, do you think it's easier to get into college or to get into heaven?
Well, that is kind of an interesting question, and in some ways it's much easier to get into heaven, but in many ways it's also harder. Well, you're talking about famous people. One of the things I remember hearing a long time ago is the two biggest surprises to heaven is when we get there, seeing the people there that we never thought would be there, and not seeing the people that we were sure would be there. And there may be a lot of truth to that, but as long as somebody understands the gospel message and they're willing to admit that they're a sinner and they believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for her sin, and that he was buried and rose again the third day, which means he was victorious over sin and death. And if we'll believe that, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's basically the simplicity of the gospel. Of course, you know, you're not going to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved if you don't think you're a sinner, or if you don't think you're in danger of eternal damnation. If you think you can make it on your own, if you think your church is going to get you there or something like that, you're probably not going to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. So that's where the difficulty comes in. People make it much more difficult sometimes than what it really is, or people don't want what God says, and they come up with their own way. So
Going back to the question that I asked him, do you think it's easier to get into heaven than it is to get into college?
Well, that's like what I was saying. If somebody understands the gospel and is willing to admit that they're a sinner, I was about 9 years old when I got saved, and even though I had always believed that God existed, the Bible was true, that Christ died on the cross, and all those basic things growing up in church, it wasn't until I was 9 years old that I said, you know what, Lord, I am a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve the wages of sin, which the Bible says is death, not merely physical death, but spiritual death, eternal separation from God for all eternity in the lake of fire. And I said, Lord, I deserve that, but I believe that Christ died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe that when he shed his blood on the cross, he paid for my sins, and I need that payment applied to my sin debt. And I called upon the name of the Lord. I confessed that I was a sinner. I believe that he died in my place, paid for my sins. I accepted that by faith, and he forgave me of my sins, and that's how I'm going to get to go to heaven, not by any great things that I've done. So from that standpoint, it was easier than getting into Colorado State University. Getting into Colorado State University, I had to fill out entry forms, and I had to send it off, and I had to wait for them to evaluate it. And of course, people going into other schools, you know, you got to fill out forms, you got to have the right grade average, you got to have the right, you know, ACT scores and things like that. And so I guess in that sense, if you look at it that way, it's harder to get into college than into heaven. But,
but
some people make it much harder to get into heaven by obscuring the gospel message.
I was listening to the program that comes on before yours, and they were talking about the verse in Revelation where Jesus comes and he says, I'm going to judge you according to your deeds.
Oh, well, and let me turn back there. And, you know, you have me at a disadvantage because I don't really hear the program that comes on before me. That program, most people don't realize, is not a local program. It's done out of West Virginia. They just broadcast it here. So, you know, I don't hear it because coming up here and then getting into the studio, I just hear little snippets of it through the speakers in the studio here. But it's not like they're here where I would know what they're talking about. But in Revelation chapter 20, oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say it's about that verse in Revelation where it says that a person would be judged according to their deeds.
Yeah, and that's what we find in Revelation chapter 20, and this is what it says. And you got to remember the time frame here. This is after the tribulation period. This is after the millennial reign of Christ. This is after the devil has been released, after being bound in the bottomless pit. And this is the final judgment. And it says, this is what we call the great white throne judgment. And the Bible says here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, which is God, of course, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now, I'm not sure where they were coming from or going with this, but there's a judgment that took place before this, because this is something that if you're saved today, anybody that's saved now is exempt from this judgment, because it says earlier in Revelation chapter 20, it says in, let's see here, in verse number, let's see, in verse number 5, it says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, the first resurrection, when the Lord comes back, the dead in Christ are raised first, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and then we which are alive and remain, meaning those of us who are alive here on earth at the time that the Lord comes back in what we refer to as the rapture, the catching away of believers, we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and we're going to go into heaven. And we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment as to whether or not we can go into heaven, but it's a judgment of believers of their works for reward in heaven. We will receive a reward based on faithful duty, faithful service to the Lord in this life. And the Old Testament saints will be there as well. And presumably those that die during the tribulation as believers and all, these people will all stand before the Lord. They will be judged for their faithful service, because our judgment as to whether we go to heaven or go to hell takes place in this life based on whether or not we trust Christ as our Savior. If we trust Christ as our Savior, then the judgment as to whether we go to heaven or hell has already taken place. God has said that we're going to go to heaven because our sins are forgiven, and he sees our sins no more, even though we do sin because we have a sin nature. But we're going to be judged because of on the basis of our service to God and receive a reward in heaven. Has nothing to do with whether or not we get into heaven. We're already going there. Well, this is the second resurrection, and we're talking about the second death here. This is the dead who died without Christ, the dead who died rejecting God. And death and hell empty out to those that are there. They stand before God at the great white throne judgment. These people are already condemned to an eternity in the lake of fire. None of these people are going to go into heaven at all. They're going into the lake of fire because they're here at the second resurrection, and they're going to experience the second death. In fact, verse 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, the book of life is there to show that none of these people have their name in the book of life. These are the people who are going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done? And they'll name whatever they've done in the Lord's name. And he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you, because their name's not in the book of life. This is the unsaved, the unregenerate, those that did not want God, and those that rejected God, those that never put their faith in Christ. They're going to be there, and they are going to be judged according to their works, not for whether or not they're going into heaven, or I'm sorry, whether they're going to heaven or hell. They're going to be judged according to their works for the degree of punishment in the lake of fire. And just like the redeemed are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, not as to whether they're going into heaven or hell, but as to the degree of reward in heaven, the unregenerate are going to be judged not as to whether they're going into heaven or hell at the great white throne judgment, but they're going to be judged as to the degree of punishment that they'll receive in the lake of fire. To whom much is given, much is required. Somebody like Hitler obviously is going to have a greater degree of punishment than somebody who maybe was a good moral person. They just didn't think they needed God.
Is that similar to Dante?
Well, Dante may have based some of his thoughts on this, but Dante, if I remember correctly, he was coming from the Roman Catholic system, and the Roman Catholic system comes up with layers of hell and things like that, or at least Dante did. Dante's Inferno came up with you know, levels of hell, and and the idea, I guess, the worse you are, the deeper you would be placed in it. But remember, hell itself is placed into the lake of fire. Hell is temporary. The lake of fire is eternal. And it says specifically death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And so hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire. And go ahead.
I think he called it the Inferno, which would be the lake of fire. Right?
And he may be. It's been a long time since I read any of Dante's works. It's been actually since I was in high school. So.
I'm just going to ask you, in other words, in order to get to heaven, you have to be part of the first resurrection.
Yeah, and you're there by putting your faith in Christ today. If somebody today puts their faith in Christ, they will be a part of the first resurrection. And as it says here, blessed and holy is he, Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We will not have to worry about that. In fact, Revelation 21, verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So if we never put our faith in Christ, we've never had the righteousness of God placed upon us. And so when God looks at us, he sees all of our sin, and we can't go into heaven. Instead, we go into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, which is what we're talking about here. But if we put our faith in Christ, Romans chapter 3 very plainly says that God justifies us. He declares us to be just, and he places his righteousness on us. So then when he looks at us, he doesn't see our righteousness, which the Bible says is as filthy rags. Instead, he sees his righteousness on us. And because he sees his righteousness on us, he's declared us to be just. So we are blessed and holy, and we'll have a part in the first resurrection. And that happens when we trust Christ as our Savior. God puts his righteousness on us. Now, we still sin. We still stumble and fall. We still fall prey. We still have a sin nature. And we're going to have that until we receive a new body, a glorified body, a resurrected body, which will not have a sin nature. But we still suffer with sin.
I appreciate you taking the time to explain that.
Oh, no, these are good questions, and this is important for people to understand because, you know, people misunderstand what's going on. I can't think of how many times I've had people tell me, oh, sinners can't get into hell, so if you sin, you're not, or into heaven. If you sin, you can't make it into heaven. You're going to wind up in hell, and so therefore you have to keep confessing your sin. But here's the thing, you know, all liars, you know, how many people can say that they don't lie? At the moment they do that, you know, that's what they're doing. And that's like what the Bible said in First John chapter 1, where he said, if we have no sin, you know, the truth is not in us. You know, so we're lying to ourselves.
I've always taken that verse to mean that when it says all liars, that there's a difference between saying one lie and making a practice of it.
Well, let me ask you this. How many people do you have to kill to be a murderer?
Just one, according to the law.
Uh-huh. So we can go with all this. How many times do you have to unbelieve? You know, well, that's getting a little harder to look at. But how many idols do you have to worship to be an idolater?
But if that was true about murderers, then Paul would have been excluded.
No, Paul admitted that he was a murderer, but he was forgiven, and the righteousness of Christ was put upon him. So when God saw Paul, he did not see what he had done as sin, I'm sorry, he did not see his sin. He declared Paul to be just, Romans chapter 3, and he put his righteousness upon Paul. So when he looked at Paul, he did not see Paul's sin record anymore. It was blotted out by the blood of Christ. And so if you lie or I lie, it only takes one lie to be a liar, just like it only takes one murder to be a murderer. I don't have to go out and kill half a dozen people to be a murderer. One person, I've broken the law, I am a murderer. Well, God does not lie, so all you have to do is break his law once and lie once, and you're a liar. And so as a consequence, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So you can't say, well, I just one murder, because murder is much worse than lying, makes me a murderer, but I have to do enough liars to make it habitual to be a liar. Well, you don't have to do enough murders or do enough to become habitual. I mean, I went to school with Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, I sat next to him in homeroom all through high school and shared classes with him. Jeffrey Dahmer became a habitual murderer. In fact, he said if he had not been arrested and put in jail, he would have continued to kill. So we know he was a habitual murderer, but he didn't have to become a habitual murderer to be guilty of murder. And right. and likewise, I don't have to go out and become a habitual liar to be guilty of lying. One lie and I'm a liar just as surely as one murder and I'm a murderer. So murderer. So we can't pick and choose what we think we like better than others.
So are you a liar?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I said that I'm not a liar, I'd be lying. And that's what I tell people, especially young people at church. The moment somebody tells you that they don't lie, you know that's the biggest lie they're telling. Because,
right.
Yeah, I had a guy at Summit County Fair come up to me with bug eyes, you know, stuck his nose right in my face. He was about an inch from my face, practically screaming with the veins standing out on his forehead and the ligaments standing out his neck going, "I don't sin." And I said, "Yes, I can feel the love right now as you're telling me that." So, you know, the moment somebody tries to deny that they sin, you know that they're a sinner. Well, we're all sinners. We have a sin nature. We don't do a bunch of bad things and become a sinner. We sin because we already have a sin nature. That's our nature. And we lie because we have a sin nature. And think about it. How many times has somebody hated somebody so much that if they could kill them, they would, but they won't because they're afraid of getting in trouble? They're afraid of getting caught. They're afraid of the consequences.
Yeah, and I guess we established that you're a liar, but not a murderer.
Well, no, I'm a murderer as well. The Bible says if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. You don't actually have to carry it out. The Bible says if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. If you hate your brother without cause, you're a murderer. If you lie, you're a liar. How many times do people lie in their heart towards themselves and God without even saying it? So if somebody, I don't care who they are, if they're a pastor, if they're a television evangelist, if they're a missionary, whoever they are, if they say that they don't lie, you know that's not true. If they say they don't sin, you know that's not true. And, you know, they need to have it forgiven. And see, that's the key. I am a forgiven liar. I am a forgiven murderer. See, I'm a forgiven sinner. Because when God looks at me, he chooses not to see my sin nature. He chooses not to see my record of sin because it's under the blood of Christ. When God looks at me, he sees instead the righteousness of Christ. If I tried to get into heaven on my own righteousness, I wouldn't make it because I can't do it. I can't be perfect. I can't not sin. Well, unfortunately, John, we're out of time. Good okay. questions there, and but thank we're you. We got less than 10 seconds, so I'll have to let you go, and I want to thank you for listening tonight. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.